Good evening. It's good to see everyone here this evening. We'll continue our study of the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John on the Isle of Patmos. I think we got to probably verse 10 in chapter 12. But looking back, as we said, John was in exile on the Isle of Patmos at the time that he received this revelation, and he saw a vision of the Lord Jesus in his present glory at that time. And these were things that were shown to him in signs. It says signify in the New American Standard, meaning that they were shown in signs and things that would soon come about. It was not going to be a long time before these things would happen. And the Lord told him what to write to the seven churches of Asia in chapters 2 and 3. The seven churches, that seven complete number, seven, which would indicate the complete churches that he relayed this information to John to write down for them. Then we saw the great throne room scene in chapters 4 and 5. Chapter 4 being about the vision of God in control, in charge of everything, not relinquishing his throne to any earthly emperor or king. God is in control. That vision that would be so comforting to the Christians that this was written for, who were being persecuted, who were finding life so difficult, finding it so difficult to be Christians. This would be a comforting thing for them and for us also when we face various types of persecution. And then in verse 5, that we see the Lamb come in who is able to open the book, who is able to release the seal, the Lion of the tribe of Judah that's able to do that. Then the next few chapters we see in verse 6, the first six seals being opened. Verse 7, an interlude that talks about those who are God's people who will be sealed. He talks about the 144,000, but the way he describes those indicates a Christian group, the new Israel, and those who have died and are redeemed. We see a vision of them, and they will be sealed and protected. Then in chapter 8, we see the seventh seal and then the first four trumpets that sound following that, the trumpets giving warnings. The eagle that flies after that and says, woe, 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 to indicate that there are three more woes that are coming. Chapter 9 talks about the fifth and sixth trumpets. Chapter 10, there's another interlude, the angel brings the little book that John is told to eat, and we see similarities to Ezekiel. The book is eaten and it's sweet in his mouth, but it's bitter in his stomach. It's good that he's able to understand what's in the book, but then having to preach the woeful things against that are coming is bitter for him. Chapter 11, we see him measuring the temple, being told to measure the temple, the two witnesses, and the seventh trumpet that sounds. And then in chapter 11, we're told about the 1260 days, the idea of the 3.5 year period, the 42-month period, 3.5 being half of that perfect number, that complete number. So it's not forever. It's not the completion of time. It's that broken number, that partial number that he talks about. And we'll see that coming up again. Then where we got to last week in chapter 12, where we saw the woman, the dragon, and the man-child. And we did some discussion about those visions in chapter 12. The fact that the woman being arrayed in, clothed in the sun, standing with the moon, the crown of 12 stars, the idea that it is very similar to Joseph's dream that we see back in the book of Genesis. We'll talk a little more about that later as we get toward the end of chapter 12. But it's not Israel that she represents, not Israel, the old covenant. It's, as we discussed, more representation of God's people, because as a group, Israel rejected the Messiah. And then it's not the church, because the church didn't give birth to the Messiah, to Christ, but Christ to the church, just the opposite. So the representation appears to be that of God's chosen people. And the dragon, who is waiting to devour the child as it's born, the child obviously being Jesus, we see in verse 5 that from the birth to his ascension to heaven is in that one verse. And it talks about his rule over the nations, the rod of iron that the psalmist talked about. And the woman fleeing into the wilderness, a place that was prepared, and again, for that 1,260 days, that incomplete period, not a complete fullness of time, but that same period that's mentioned earlier. The battle that took place in heaven, we discussed last time. The vision is in heaven of the battle between the dragon, which is Satan, that great serpent, as it's mentioned. Red being the color of it, red giving the idea of a murderous intent. We talk about somebody seeing red, this idea of Satan being a murderer, and the battle he and his angels wage against Michael and the angels with Michael, and that Michael is victorious. But Michael was the one who was protector of Israel in the Old Testament, in the old scriptures. And then he's mentioned as contending with Satan in the book of Jude. It talks about him contending with Satan there. So we got down through that point, and I think we had just started talking about verse 10. But I wanted to do a little bit of review to get us up to that point. Are there any comments or questions before we get started with tonight? We should be able to get through, I think we'll be able to get through with chapter 12 and do the questions. I'm not sure if we'll make it to chapter 13 or not. I hate to take chapter 13 away from Leon. He always talks about somebody getting the good part, and chapter 13 is certainly going to be a good part to get to. I tell him he leaves the hard part for me. But let's go ahead and start with verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." So the voice is announcing that God's plan of salvation, his power, and the beginning of the kingdom have defeated, are now in place. They have come now. And the reason that the saints, those were that were able, God's people were able to overcome Satan, are because of the blood of the Lamb, their faith, the word of their testimonies. They had their faith in their testimonies, and because they did not love their lives even when they were faced with death. Not all of them would have to die. But even in the face of death, they didn't love their lives more than they did the Lord. They kept their faith even in that at that time. If we look at Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So that was one of the three methods by which they overcame the dragon, or Satan, if you will. The salvation that was sent to them by the blood of the Lamb, their faith, and the fact that they did not love their lives, even when they were faced with death. And he talks about rejoicing those in heaven and who dwell in them, the heavens and who dwell in them. The idea here being those with God in heaven and those who dwell with him in the heavenly realm or relationship, those that are still alive that are dwelling with him in that heavenly relationship, those are the ones who are to rejoice. So again, this is something that is written to comfort those Christians who are being persecuted, and we'll see as we get into the next chapter, the persecutor is the Roman Empire, who was very, very powerful, very great at that time, and at this point, they're up to really pushing emperor worship. They've gone beyond the worship of their false gods on into worshiping whoever is the emperor at that time and trying to force that worship on everybody within the empire. So this is something that the Christians of this time should rejoice because of God being in control and his plan coming into fruition, the fact that salvation is now there because of the sacrifice that Jesus had made. And if they continue in the faith, then they will have that eternal life, that comfort that they see, that John sees and records in this vision, that those have that are in the presence of God. He also says, "Woe to the earth." Woe to the earth and sea. This idea being the worldly area, those who are not the regenerated or not the elect, those who are the ones that should really be in woe because Satan is now there in the world. And so they will see his great wrath because of only a short time. I read several thoughts about what that means about short time. Is the short time until Satan will be thrown into the abyss that we'll see in chapter 20? Is it later in chapter 20 when he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire? But it seems to correspond with what we saw in chapter 6 when we talked about the martyrs and they needed to wait a little time. And that time seems to match up. Satan will be cast into the abyss, we see in chapter 20, I think, verse 1 through 3. But then right after that, we see that these martyrs will be on thrones and will reign with Christ. So it's like that short time for Satan is like the little time for the martyrs that they will have to wait. And we'll talk more of that, I think, when we get to chapter 20. The latter part of the book, but that's what I take from where it says he only has a short time. Any questions about that section? Comments? Well, looking on then, starting in verse 13 and reading to the end of the chapter. "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened his mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who kept the commandments of God and who hold the testimony of Jesus. The dragon couldn't harm the male child either. He couldn't devour the male child when he was born throughout his life and his ascension to heaven, and couldn't harm the Christ in heaven. So he goes after the woman now, which at this point, based on what we see in chapter 17, this is the church. As Leon had said before, it's like the woman we see to start out with, and then the woman here is the same but different, I think is the way he put it. But being God's chosen people at this particular time is the church after the resurrection. And he goes after her in an attempt to harm the Christ by going after the church. But she's given wings to be able to fly away. And I jotted down, first John 15 and 20, where Jesus said, "If they persecute me, they will also persecute you." So that's what he's presenting to his disciples, is that they can't hurt him, but they will try to persecute those in the church. And I also thought about the eagle's wings to the wilderness is similar to what we see in the book of Exodus with Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Exodus 19 and 4 says, "You yourself saw what I did to the Egyptians. I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So it's reminiscent of that. The church is carried to a place of preparation. We talked last time about the wilderness being, several verses indicate the wilderness as being that area of preparation. So the church is taken there and is nourished. And it, again, this same time period, a time, a times, and a half time. A time being one, and then times would be two more, making three, and then a half time being three and a half, which is like that 3.5 year period, the 42 months or the 1260 days. So it's all that same time period. It's not a literal time period, but it is that figurative time that is not forever. It's not for till the end of time. It's not complete. And it talks, the dragon then tries to sweep the church away with the idea of the water would be like trying to sweep the church away. And coming out of the mouth of Satan, what comes out of Satan's mouth? Lies and deceit. The earth, it indicates the earth helped the woman by opening up and absorbing that water. If I could, let me kind of paraphrase what Homer Haley says about this. The water is the idea of sweeping away God's people like a flood. The water being absorbed by the desert land. The water indicating like the lies and the evil deceit of Satan is being taken in by the people of the world. And it's thereby helping the church by creating a very sharp distinction between the worldly people and the church, because the people of the world take in those lies and the church doesn't. So that's the idea that I read in Haley's commentary, and I can't come up with anything better than that. That sounds like it's as close as anything to me. Anybody else have comments or thoughts about that? So with that, he gets really frustrated. He's lost so many times, and now he's going after the individuals that are in the church. He's going after the children, the seed of the woman, who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Now, when it talks about commandments, it's not talking about the old covenant here. It's talking about the new law, the new covenant that Jesus has made, and not the old covenant of Israel. When John, in the book of John, the word he uses for commandments is there, I think, 10 times. One time it's talking about the commandments of the Pharisees, but the other 9 is talking about the commandments of the Father and the Son. And then he uses it 14 times in 1 John. And every time there he's talking about the new covenant or the new Testament with Jesus, and none of them are talking about the old commandments. So this is talking about, when it talks about the seed of the woman, it's talking about those who are in the church. And it's a warning to us, to them, and a warning to us also, that Satan is coming after us. But those who can overcome are assured of victory, assured of being victorious. I think this might be as good a time as any. Last time we talked about the woman, and there was a part of it that I wanted to mention and just failed to pick up on. When I talked about the description of the woman, it is very reminiscent of Joseph's dream about Israel, about Jacob and his sons bowing down to Joseph. But again, looking at what Homer Haley says in his commentary, he says that she's arrayed with light that appears to be of the three different dispensations, the patriarch, Moses, the law of Moses, and the Christians. Indicating that the period from Adam to Moses, that period of the patriarchs, is sometimes referred to as the starlit era. And the period that included the law of Moses and the prophets is the moonlit age, and then the period of Christianity after Christ is sunlight. So that would be the people of all three dispensations, which goes back to God's chosen people. So these people are represented here, the children of this woman, is more than the old covenant. It's come to represent all of God's people. In Hebrews 9 and verse 15, Hebrews 9:15 says, "For this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the Redeemer, for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." And then in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40 says, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised," talking about the heroes of faith that are mentioned in chapter 11. Verse 40, "Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." So the idea, those that died under the old covenant, the blood of Jesus also redeems them, and they become us, if you will. We and they become us. And that's the idea I get from reading the children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus as being those that Satan is going after, since he can't harm the church itself or the Christ. Any questions, comments about chapter 12? I hope I've done a halfway decent job of... I think I understand it a lot better than I did, and I hope I've been able to relay that some way. No comments or questions? Well, let's look at the questions that Leon had handed out. Does anybody need questions on chapter 12? I think 12 and 13 are on the same... same page. does anybody know where we got to last time?
Wes Montgomery, I have the last question.
Did you have the last question, Wes? I think you did. So I guess we're moving back. So Daryl would be the first question, I believe. Okay. Number two.
Who is the child of whom she gave birth? Jesus.
The Christ, yes. Number three. Is it James?
Who is the great dragon? Satan.
Satan. Number four. So he could devour the child when it was born. Number five, in the back. Kip. Okay. Number six. Down front, Kip. Bill, number six.
Where did the woman flee and how long? And for how long? In the wilderness, and she stayed there 1,260 days.
Okay. And if I overlook anybody, I'm sorry. I'm having a problem with one of my eyes, and I've only got one contact in, and everything looks fuzzy out of the other side. But next, Thomas. Elder. Okay. Number eight.
What happened to the dragon and his angel cast out of heaven?
Okay. Next.
What statement of Hebrew was made in verse 10? Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of Christ, his Christ have come.
Okay. Number 10. Right. Number 11.
For the period of time mentioned in Revelations 11, 2 and 3, 12, 6, 14, 13, 5, all things refer to the same period of time. Yes.
Yes. I didn't mention it. A lot of people will take and try to add all these times together in some form or fashion to come up with a time when the Lord's going to come again, but this is talking about the same period. It's the same undetermined period of time. Number 12. Correct. So, Satan has been cast down at this point. He's been defeated every way he has tried, and now he's going after the individuals. And we're going to see in chapter 13 that he's going to have a couple of allies working with him to try to achieve this. We see two more signs or symbols of forces that will be at Satan's disposal that he will give power and authority to try to defeat the church. So chapter 13, again, moves into, we need to remember that these are symbols. It's all figurative, apocalyptic language. And The way I'd like to start, chapter 13 of the book of Revelations, I'd like to turn to Daniel chapter 7 first, before we get started. In Daniel chapter 7, first of all, reading verses 1 through 7. First, we know that Daniel is in the Babylonian Empire. And in early in the book, he interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the large, I guess you'd say, statue, that the head is gold, the breastplate is silver. The third kingdom in that vision is going to be the middle portion. The legs are iron, is the part that I want to remember at this point. And it's clear from Daniel's interpretation that these are kingdoms, that the Babylonian kingdom, then the Medo-Persian is the silver, then the Greek, and then the Roman is the legs of iron. And it goes on, and it has Daniel falling under, at some point, Darius or Darius. But then in 7, it goes back to the point when he's the time of the Babylonian Empire. And it says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. Then he wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, I was looking in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. It kept looking until its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind also was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, resembling a bear. And it was raised up on one side, and three ribs were in its mouth between its teeth, and thus they said to it, Arise, devour much meat. After this I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this, and it goes on, if we look at verse 12. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. And then in verse 17, these great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. Verse 23 says, Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. So these are the kingdoms, and if we match these four beasts and the kingdoms they represent up to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, we're talking about Babylon, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Greek, and then the Roman Empire. Iron is representative in both cases, the legs of iron and the teeth of iron in this beast. So with that in mind, we can look at Revelation chapter 13. And let's take a look at the first two verses of Revelation 13. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on its horns were 10 diadems, and on its heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, And his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. So if we look at this, the beast coming up out of the sea with 10 horns resembles very much the beast, the fourth beast that Daniel saw in his dream. The 10 horns, the fact that it was different from the other beast. And as we read in, I threw in verse 17 of Daniel 7, looking at the rest of the beast, as for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them. The idea being that each of the empires or kingdoms built on the other. So that this beast that we see in, that John saw in his vision, is like a leopard, it's like a bear, and it's like the lion. It's like it has characteristics of those other empires. The power of Babylon, the lion, the force of the Medo-Persian Empire, or the bear, being swift and ferocious, like Alexander in the days of the Macedonian or Greek Empire. But it, as we saw in Daniel chapter 7, it tramples under all the others. So the Roman Empire is the one that had the greatest of power. It had the most power of all of those. And let me quickly look at verse 3. I saw one of the heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. We'll probably get into it more next time. Leon, I don't know if he'll be able to teach next time, probably, more about this one of the heads being slain but continuing to live, give you a little hint, maybe the fact that at Nero's death, the persecution, Nero was a great persecutor of the church. Nero died, but that maybe being the death blow, and the Roman Empire went into a period of anarchy. But after that, when Domitian came into power, he became the next great persecutor. And it's like the head that received the death blow now is still living. So we didn't get to any questions on that, or you can save those for Leon next time.